closed meeting of the House Special Committee on Fisheries to order. It's Monday, April 5th. The time is 8:40. Would the secretary please take the roll?
Representative Moses?
Here.
Representative Walters?
Here.
Representative Phillips?
Here.
Representative Nicolai? Representative Davis?
Today, we'll be hearing House Bill 264, establishing a fisheries resource landing tax. We are on teleconference for listen only, so be sure to use your teleconference mic at all times. Today is the first hearing on this bill, and we will be hearing primary from the state agencies. And I'd like to call upon Carl Meyer from the Department of Revenue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First thing I'd like to do is to briefly go through House Bill 264 and give a brief overview of the provisions of what it provides and how it intends to accomplish, I think, what the goal is here. Section 1 of House Bill 264 would add a new chapter to Title 43, and the new title would implement a landing tax. Now, the landing tax that would be imposed under Section 10 of Chapter 77 will apply to processed fisheries resources that are not otherwise subject to AS 4375. AS 4375 is the fisheries business tax provisions. A resource that is subject to AS 4375 or the fisheries business tax provisions would not be subject to the landing tax in this legislation. And I think the difference there is that under the fisheries business tax provisions, the tax there is levied upon the act of process. A person becomes subject to tax under the fisheries business tax provisions if a fisheries resource is either caught or processed within the state of Alaska, and that includes the 3-mile limit extending from Alaska's shores. Now, because of the fact that you have a number of catcher processors that conduct their operations exclusively outside of Alaska's taxing jurisdiction, and the fact that they both catch and process their fisheries resources outside the taxing jurisdiction, at the time those resources are brought into the state, the fisheries business tax cannot apply to them, because the fisheries business tax only applies to the unprocessed resource, like I say. So to subject the resources that are caught and processed outside the 3-mile limit, you have to have some other type of mechanism, and the landing tax is such a mechanism. It, in contrast to the fisheries business tax, would apply to processed resources. So that's really the distinction between the landing tax provision, which we have before us today in House Bill 264, and the fisheries business tax provisions in AS 4375. Fisheries business tax applies to unprocessed, like I say, and the landing tax would apply to the processed resources. Now, the landing tax in House Bill 264 would apply to processed resources that are first landed in the state of Alaska rather than in some other state or foreign country. The landing tax would not apply if the processed resources are first landed in some other state or foreign country. The legislation in House Bill 264, one point, if I can find that, I think, I'll get to that later, but I'm getting ahead of myself here. With respect to what landing causes a tax, when we talk about a first landing, we're really talking about a first landing that occurs in a state or a foreign country. So if you have an instance where a first landing occurs outside of a state or a foreign country, such as in international waters, that has no impact upon the state tax. You can have that type of a situation where the resources are going to be landed, and in most cases, they will technically, under the definition we have here, be landed on the high seas when they're transferred. But that's not a transfer in a state or a foreign country, and therefore it's not a first landing for purposes of the legislation. So that when that resource later comes into the state, that will be a first landing, and that will subject that the owner of that resource to the landing tax. The landing tax rate itself is 3.3% of the value of the processed fisheries resource at the place of landing. Section 20 of Title 77 provides that a person subject to tax must file a tax return with the department reporting the value of the resources landed as well as the point of landing, as well as other information that the department requires by regulations. These tax returns are due before April 1st of the year following the year in which the resources are landed. That corresponds with the due date that we have under the fisheries business tax provisions. A taxpayer may also be allowed an extension of time to file the tax return, but that does not extend the time to pay the tax, and that again is the same as we have under our fisheries business tax provisions. Now, AS 4377 section 30 allows a credit against the landing tax on a fisheries resource for processing and salmon enhancement type taxes that are paid to a state in which the fisheries resource was caught or processed prior to landing in the state of Alaska. And for purposes of this provision, we interpret the word state to also include a foreign country. It's our understanding that this credit provision is really designed to avoid certain constitutional challenges that might be made to the tax, and in reality, we believe that there will be very few instances in which any resource will actually be subject to tax in any other state or foreign country before it is landed in the state of Alaska. Now, Section 40 of the legislation, or Section 40 of Title 77, provides that 0.3% of the value of the resource, the tax on 0.3% of the value of the resource, is to be deposited into the general fund and designated for potential appropriation by the legislature to be used by the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. And by the same token, the tax collected on 3% of the value of the fisheries resource is also to be deposited into the general fund, and it may be appropriated there for revenue sharing purposes under AS 4377050. And the revenue sharing purposes, revenue sharing under this provision pretty much mirrors the revenue sharing provisions which we have under the fisheries business tax provisions. And I can get into that a little bit later if you would like. AS 4377060 gives to the Department of Revenue the authority to adopt regulations to interpret and implement the landing tax provisions. As we go along, I'm sure that there will be some instances where the department will need to implement some regulations dealing with valuation and some other matters such as that to give more guidance to those taxpayers that are subject to this tax. Now, in Section 200 of Chapter 77, our definitions, and for purposes of this chapter, as I mentioned before, a fisheries resource is a processed resource. And just to reiterate, an unprocessed fisheries resource, if it is going to be taxable, will be taxable under AS 4375. Fisheries business tax provisions. The landing, which is defined in the legislation, is defined as the act of unloading or transferring a fisheries resource. And that landing can take place over water, can also take place over land, but it's not exclusively intended to apply only to landings on actual land, and it occurs over water. In fact, most of the resources that we're really talking about here probably never make it to land. They're probably transferred on over water. The fisheries, and just to give you an example, you have a catcher processor, catching and processing fisheries resources on the high seas outside the Alaska jurisdictional limits. It then transfers that processed resource to a second vessel on the high seas. Now, that transfer has no application as far as this legislation is concerned, because that is a transfer or a landing as we have defined it, but it is not a landing in a state or a foreign country. It's a landing on the high seas, so it has no application, doesn't defeat the tax which is contemplated by this legislation. Now, once that second vessel obtains the resource on the high seas, it may enter the 3-mile limit of the state of Alaska and transfer the product to a third vessel. The fisheries business tax would not apply to this fisheries resources because both the fish were caught outside Alaska's limit and the fish were processed outside. So the fisheries business tax could not apply to this situation. So absent something in the nature of a landing tax, you would not obtain any tax revenue from this type of a operation. The landing tax, which is imposed by House Bill 264, would apply at the point that the second vessel transferred the fisheries resources to the third vessel within the state jurisdictional waters. And the owner of that resource aboard the second vessel at the moment of transfer would be the party that would be subject to the tax. Now, the valuation of the resources for purposes of computing the tax differs in one respect from that under the fisheries business tax provisions. The value is the lesser of the actual market value of the resource at the point of landing, or the statewide average price paid for the resource in a year as reported by the Department of Fish and Game. Now, the use of the statewide average price paid, I believe, is intended to accomplish two things. And first, simplifies the determination of the tax value, since market value for this processed product may be otherwise be difficult to determine. And the second thing that it really accomplishes is that it approximates the value that otherwise would have been applicable under the fisheries business tax provisions. Now, it's important, I think, to really note that the statewide average price paid, which in most cases, I believe that's really going to be the value that this legislation would put upon that product. The statewide average price paid is a value that is going to be determined by Fish and Game based on fish tickets for the most part, as I understand it. Now, that is a value of unprocessed product. So what we're doing here is, even though at the point of time that the resource is going to become subject to tax and it's going to be in a process form, that the value for purposes of tax is not going to include any value added from the act of processing, because we're going to look at an unprocessed value on. And so, in other words, this is the valuation will be equivalent to what in-state processors pay under the fisheries business tax provisions, because there, like I had mentioned before, the fisheries business tax is a tax based on unprocessed product. And by using this average price, it is going to be equivalent under the landing tax provisions to what a processor would pay under the fisheries business tax provisions. The Section 2 of House Bill 264 provides that the legislation would take effect January 1, 1994, and would apply to fisheries resources that are first landed in the state from that date. Now, I think one of the biggest questions people might have is really who is impacted by this legislation. We have done some questions and answers where we have laid out some of the questions where we felt that, that people would have some inquiry. But really what this legislation is geared to is the operators that operate, fish almost exclusively in the exclusive economic zone, or the EEZ. These are large catcher processors that have the capability to both catch fisheries resources and process them almost simultaneous with catching those resources. And they can do that outside the jurisdiction of the state. And because they can do that, they pay no fisheries business taxes. It's my understanding that even though they pay no fisheries business taxes, that the state of Alaska provides significant benefits, significant services, incurs quite a bit of management responsibility with respect to the resources that these catcher processors are taking on the high seas. And in addition to that, the local communities in this state are also impacted by those operations. And this tax would be one way to compensate the state for all these services, and also through the revenue sharing mechanism to compensate the local municipalities for some of those local impacts. It should be pointed out that you're not going to have a situation where the fisheries business tax and the landing tax are both going to apply to someone. There's not going to be a situation where you're going to have a double tax. If the fisheries business tax applies, the landing tax will never apply. The landing tax is only designed to be something that is complementary to the fisheries business tax. And the other point here, the landing tax will not apply to fisheries resources that are first landed in some other state or foreign country. The landing tax will only apply if the resources are first landed in the state. You won't have a situation where grocery stores and so on that bring in processed product are going to be subject to this tax. This tax will capture the resources that are caught in the EEZ, brought into the state of Alaska for transshipment immediately out of the state to the lower 48. That type of a transfer is taxable. I think that's really the type of situation that this legislation is designed to tax. Now, with regard to the determination of the taxable value, as I mentioned earlier, the value is either the lesser of the fair market value at the time and place of the transfer, or this average, statewide average price paid for unprocessed resource determined by the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. You might have some situations where the fair market value of the processed resource would be lower than the value determined by the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. That would be an unusual situation, but it could happen. And a taxpayer always has the opportunity to come in and determine what that fair market value is. If it's a lesser value than the statewide average price, then the processor can determine its tax based on that lower value. And in the event that you have some type of fisheries resource that is brought into the state and it is subject to this provision, but for whatever reason the Alaska Department of Fish and Game does not have any statewide average price for that, it doesn't mean that as I interpret this legislation, it does not mean that value is zero, and therefore the lesser of some number or zero normally would be zero. But we interpret that not to be the case, and the department through regulations will substitute some other method for the statewide average price in that instance to arrive at a equitable value for that product. In looking at the landing tax rate overall, when compared to the fisheries business tax, what you really have is you have a tax rate that is being imposed upon the catcher processors that is equivalent to the rate that a shore-based processor would pay in this state under the fisheries business tax provisions. The 3.3% is equivalent to a 3% fisheries business tax, which a shore-based processor pays, and a 0.3% tax that a processor, shore-based processor, pays to the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. So overall, I think on balance, it's a very favorable taxing scheme for DEZ catcher processors when compared to the fisheries business tax provisions, because it really puts the EEZ catcher processors on a par with a processor that is located within the state with shore-based operations. They're paying the same value. As I understand it, in meetings with the catcher processors, the industry, this was something that was related to the Department of Revenue, that if this type of a tax was proposed, that the industry itself would not have any opposition if they were treated fairly and equally and equivalent to the shore-based processors. And I think this legislation reflects that. I think it is very fair. The 3% shore-based rate is a fair rate. The other 0.3% rate is, like I say, equivalent to what a shore-based processor would pay in this state. And it's more favorable than what a floating processor would pay under the fisheries and business tax provisions. The revenue sharing aspect of this is mostly you will have a situation where a unified municipality or a city in an unorganized borough will receive 50% of the 3%. If you have a city that is located within a borough, the city receives 25% and the borough receives 25%. If the landing occurs in a borough but outside the city, then the borough would obtain the entire 50%. There's some provisions for revenue sharing for boroughs incorporated after June 16, 1987. And in that instance, the city obtains more of the revenue sharing in the earlier years, and then after 4 years, it would be the normal revenue sharing situation. If you have a land-in that is going to occur outside any municipality where you otherwise wouldn't have any revenue sharing, the law in this legislation provides that 50% of the tax that is otherwise not shared is transmitted to the Department of Community and Regional Affairs for sharing under AS 2960-450. So all of the revenue is really going to be subject to revenue sharing with municipalities in one manner or another. Now, the department has submitted a fiscal note with this legislation showing that the 3% portion of the revenues from this tax, net of the amount shared back to municipalities, would be about $4.3 million. The 0.3% portion of the land in tax is not subject to sharing, but it's subject to that appropriation to ASME, and that would be $860,000. And in association with this legislation, the Department of Revenue has submitted a fiscal note showing one PCN that would be required, one person, personal services in the form of a revenue auditor, three, $58,000, and related travel, contractual supplies, and equipment. That revenue auditor three would be required to perform the audits and make sure that there was compliance with these provisions. That's all the prepared comments that I would have this morning, but I'd be more than happy to answer any questions.
Any questions of Mr. Meyer? Representative Phillips?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Meyer, are there any groups or people associated with the fishing industry now that will not be taxed, either under the fisheries business tax or this landing tax, if this were to pass?
I don't think so, because this pretty much covers the whole playing field. You have the situation where the unprocessed product is going to be subject to tax, as it always has been under the fisheries business tax provisions, and this then would capture those resources that up till now and presently are not being subject to tax, and that's the EEZ catcher processors. They catch, then bring the catch into the state. Right now it's not being taxed. Under this legislation it would be taxed, and that would, as far as I can tell, I'm not aware of any other fisheries resources that might exist that would not be subject to tax.
Mr. Chairman, may I continue? On page 2 of the bill, under section 4377040, revenue sharing, the first paragraph's line 12 through 16. Where 3/10 of the value of this money can be dedicated to ASME or other public purposes. And I'm concerned about that phrase, or other public purposes being in there. What is the chance of none of it going to ASME?
I don't really know if I can answer that. I'm not sure what that other public purposes really is. I would say that it's up to the legislature to appropriate all money, and even though this money is really envisioned as going to ASME, it does go into the general fund. It would be subject to appropriation by the legislature for any purpose in any event.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a point that we bring that point back up again.
I had a point on that. I wonder if that's a way to get around the prohibition on dedicated taxes.
One other question, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Meyer, on page 3, where it breaks down the revenue sharing interest in section 1 that goes to a city or borough incorporated after June 16, 1987, and you list in this, or the sections are listed here. Is this breakdown the same as it is in the fisheries business tax? Was that taken out to match what's in the...
Yes, it's my understanding that the revenue sharing provisions in this legislation track exactly the revenue sharing provisions in the fisheries business tax provisions. And I have read through them, and to my knowledge, they do that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Meyer.
Thank you.
Next, we have Vince Yucera from the Department of the Law.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. I have no prepared comments, sir. I'm here to answer any questions you may have.
Any questions of Mr. Yucera? Representative Phillips?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Yucera, did you see a memo dated March 31st from Jack Chenoweth, legal counsel to the legislature, to the Speaker of the House regarding this?
No, I have not.
And discussing the constitutionality of this issue. Mr. Chairman, maybe we could make sure the Department of Law has a copy of this and get a comparison. I have several questions regarding the information contained in this memo as to the constitutionality of the bill. And if we can't get it today, maybe we could get, maybe you would look this over and give us your opinion back on this.
Right. This particular tax has been a subject of discussion for years. And while nobody can say definitively that it is either constitutional or unconstitutional, it's the feeling of the Department of Law that we are very secure in its defensibility. And that's about as far as we can go. Until the Supreme Court were to bang its gavel, nobody would know for certain whether it is constitutional or unconstitutional. But we feel we would be willing to defend it. I'd be glad to read this memo and respond to it, but frankly, I left my glasses at the office.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do we have any anyone else that wish to testify this time?
Well, sir, it's a pleasure. When is it be scheduled again, Mr. Chairman? Excuse me.
May not be till next week. Probably Monday, that would be the 12th. Commissioner Rozier, did you want to testify?
Yes, please, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Carl Rozier, Commissioner of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. I'm pleased to see House Bill 264 being introduced. I think this is an idea whose time has come. As we see the foreign fleets disappear, and the Americanization of the offshore factory trawl fleet in Alaska waters. It's a large fleet of approximately 60 plus modern vessels, mostly based in the state of Washington. It operates within the EEZ off the coast of Alaska. This fishery has been extremely profitable. Rapid capital investment has occurred in the fishery. This fleet harvests the bycatch of crab, halibut, herring, and salmon while targeting on other species. These species are important to Alaska's resident fishermen and processors and their coastal communities. The incidental harvest of these species by the factory trawlers has an economic impact on Alaskans by the removal through bycatch of resources that would otherwise be harvested and processed by residents of coastal Alaska. This fleet avails itself of Alaskan docks and harbors, communications and transportation systems, as well as medical services when needed. This fleet pays virtually no taxes to the state for either the services it receives or its impact on coastal Alaskan communities. House Bill 264 proposes a modest 3% tax on product landed in Alaska for shipment to market elsewhere. The revenue from this tax could help pay for the services used for the factory trawlers and mitigate some of the economic impacts they have on Alaskan coastal communities. It's no secret that management and enforcement in the offshore fisheries are underfunded. The revenue from this landing tax would provide a necessary addition to the funding of these functions. I am concerned, however, about the budgeting process we are witnessing in the State Senate this year. The approach to funding natural resources management being proposed in that body prevails, then the benefits offered by the additional revenues from House Bill 264 will be significantly reduced. If Alaska is to maintain or increase its revenues, jobs, and resident income for fish and wildlife resources, then it has to be willing to put its money into the management of these resources. I recognize the fiscal situation the state is facing as oil revenues decline, while fish and wildlife resources will never offer the tax revenues that oil does. These resources do offer abundant employment and income-producing opportunities for Alaskans. The fact shows that the users have been willing to pay a fair share of the cost of managing and protecting these resources. The prudent thing is to build the renewable resources base of the state now, so that when oil revenues decline, these renewable resources, these renewable sources of employment and income will be strong. This cannot be done with the cuts to natural resources management being proposed. In closing, I want to thank the House leadership for the approach they have taken on the budget this year. While the department has taken reductions, it has been done in a thoughtful, responsible fashion. I have especially appreciated the dialogue between the House budget writers and the department. House Bill 264 will help provide the management, research, and enforcement that must be done if fisheries resources are to continue their productivity on a sustained yield basis. I want to thank Representative Moses and the House Rules Committee for the introduction of this bill. I would hope for passage of it before the session adjourns. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Rozier. Any questions of Mr. Rozier?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Rozier, I would appreciate having a copy of your statement.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you. Is there anyone from the Department of Commerce that wishes to testify?
Oh, I'm here to answer questions.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'm loosely affiliated with the Department of Commerce. My name is Kim Elton from the Alaska Sea Grant Marketing Institute. Just a couple of quick comments. I want to note that the 0.3% of the portion of the tax is, as noted by the Department of Revenue, identical to what shore-based processors are paying. I think it's also important to recognize that there is a benefit that the offshore processors are deriving from, presently, from programs being instituted by the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. And then the last point that I wanted to make was the point that Representative Phillips raised about the language on page 2 of the ASME section. And I guess I would feel a little bit more comfortable striking for other purposes, I think, to the point that Representative Olberg raised, the word may is sufficient qualifier. And that's all I had, Mr. Chairman. Any questions?
Any question, Mr. Elson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else wish to testify at this time? If not, our next scheduled meeting won't be until Monday of next week. If there's nothing further to come before the committee at this time, we stand adjourned at 9:18.